Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm okay. I had to replug in my mic, so I'm hoping everything is okay.
It sounds okay, other than the pauses.
Okay, that's just me doing
all right.
Shatner. No, this is the time of the year where there is static everywhere, static electricity.
Oh, and if you touch your microphone with static, it turns off.
Sometimes if I touch my desk, and I would have thought there was enough dampening between, like, up through the boom arm and everything, but sometimes I'll just touch something on my desk. The other day, I had my Magic Keyboard plugged in because it was recharging, and I touched that, and I was like, I zap that and you get like the crackle on the speakers and everything. I was like, oh God, what kind of damage am I doing to all this crap? Hopefully it's low enough voltage or whatever that it's, you know, not causing any serious damage. But ugh, I hate it so much. Also, because I have to like very carefully approach my desk and try to find something grounded to like touch that isn't sensitive and electronic. And invariably, as soon as I put my headphones on, the mic is like, oh yeah, I'm just going to turn myself off now.
Yeah. Wow.
Good times.
I don't know if you can invest in a anti-static something.
I probably need an anti-static like mat to go under my chair.
That might be good.
The downside to that is that I sometimes use it as the standing desk. So I would have to like drag the mat out of the way, put the standing mat in the way. Like it's a little annoying. Unless there's an anti-static standing mat that also works with chairs, but that I feel like those two things are not.
No, you'd almost be like an anti-static chair mat thing and then put your standing mat on top of it.
On top of it, yeah. No, that would make a lot of sense, I guess.
And you'd have two mats.
That would be pretty great.
Yeah, you'd be high. Your head might hit the ceiling.
I happened to, because I was already set up this way when I turned it on, I just want to say, wait, let's fire off the spoiler laser. No, I don't know. Is this... I had Farrago installed.
Uh-huh.
And I was playing around with it. And so I have like a loopback interface set up right now. But of course, see, now my Skype is being piped directly to the Yeti. So I can't, because I had it on when I started up Clockwise the other day. And just changing the system inputs was enough to like screw with the live stream, I think, just because it was, you know, everything is very precisely set up and you change one thing and it's like, not like I can't fix this, but I can't fix this when we are going on the air.
Yep.
So I switched everything manually back to the Yeti, so I don't have the soundboard currently.
What a shame.
Set up. I'm really disappointed. Really can't disappointed.
Play sound effects.
Could be playing spoiler lasers, foghorns, all that stuff.
You could, but you're not.
I'm not. Or I am, but only I can hear them.
Oh, well, that's great. Everybody is loving that.
Yep.
The
yep.
most.
Everybody's loving it.
What's going on? HomePod. Orders are underway.
And it sounds like some people have gotten some time with the HomePod.
Yeah, I've seen some people who've said, well, I've heard it. So obviously there was some sort of media opportunity where people were given a chance to see it. But it's like they're not saying, you know, they're not writing reviews, but they're saying, oh, I have heard it and we'll answer your questions and stuff like that, which is, again, Apple kind of doing all sorts of different things for their media rollouts of products. So people have heard it more recently than 7 months ago when I heard it, so that's good.
Yeah, but it's interesting because so much there's still, I feel like, a lot of questions. And a lot of these are things that will, as there always are with devices ahead of time, a lot of these are things that are like, you know, the devil's in the details of the implementation. So like, for example, there was the Refinery 29 story the other day, which mentioned that if the person associated with the iCloud account attached to the HomePod is not in the house, like you can't use it to like send texts or stuff like that.
Right.
And I was a little curious about what exactly that means, right? Because, like, how do you assume... Are you assuming that everybody's associated with, like, the phone? Like, I have an iPhone and an iPad. I might leave with the phone and the iPad's still here. Does that count as still being here? Or is it basing that on the location of my device? It's a little interesting. I wonder if it's probably doing some of the same call forwarding stuff. Like, presumably, like, if you have calls forwarded to your iMac, those don't ring when you're not in the house because it's all done over the local network. So I assume it's kind of a setup like that, like call relaying, text message relaying, but it's a little peculiar and still kind of tricky with the fact that Apple has not had like the best, I don't want to say track record, that's not right, but they haven't seemed interested in making devices that are for more than one person or adapting their devices to use with more than one person, with the exception of Macs, which obviously I think there's just so much legacy there.
Right. That's a decision that was made so long ago that, right. You know.
But like there's no iPhone, you know, most people don't share a phone, but you know, it might happen. The iPad particularly, there's like an education setup where there's a multi-user mode.
Right.
But that's never made it to general use.
Right.
Even though people regularly share, I know lots of families who share iPads.
Yeah, so, and this is a device that's in the air, right? It's listening right. to your home, and it's not like other devices don't have this issue, because I feel like all of these devices have this issue where they don't seem to be good enough at detecting whose voice it is and putting different data in different contexts based on who's talking. It mm-hmm. is interesting that Apple has apparently chosen not to do, you know, because you could link it to, although maybe that's how it works. Like if your phone isn't around and you try to send a text message, that's not an iMessage, you can't do it if your phone's not around. The phone has to actually right. do the sending of
right.
it. So
exactly.
And then SiriKit, we know, you know, when there's data on your phone that it's accessing, I don't think, you know, if your phone's not there, it can't do that part either. So there's a bunch of like asterisks on some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But the multi-user thing, I mean, like my Amazon Echo has that same issue, which is like, it's logged in as yeah. me and I've got some shared family calendars that I have displayed, but it doesn't know any other context. And over time, I think the solution here is going to have to be that every person who lives in the house is voice printed in a way that you can tell yep. that it's them and do things in their context. And as right. far as I can tell, the tech, even though there's some attempts to do some of that, basically it's not good enough yet.
The Google Home does this. It has, it's not 100% perfect. Like a lot of time I've had it recently give like failures and it basically errs on the side of like, we couldn't recognize your voice, so we're not going to give you any personal information right
yeah.
now. But it does nominally do it. And I've tested it and I found that it does work at least a reasonable amount of the time. But yeah, it's certainly not bulletproof in any way. And I think probably part of that is just there's, you know, when Apple walks you through the setting up the Hey Siri thing, when you do it, right, like it matches your voice, but you're saying only, you know, basically two words
and all
that are key to your voice print. And I've had that be a false yeah. positive. I had my phone on a table while I was on a panel last weekend at the conference, and the guy talking, standing next to me or sitting next to me, was talking about something, and I don't know what he said. It wasn't the trigger word, but it started. I heard the bloop, and then I saw oh, yeah. like all the text start scrolling down. So it's not perfect either.
No, I've had John Syracuse sent mine off while editing a podcast. I mean, it happens. It's not. Somebody was asking me about this on Twitter this week. Like the voice recognition stuff with Siri, like it's not a security feature. It's just meant to prevent accidental activations, and even then it's not quite right. And this is the thing. I mean, Google seems to be further along, but this is one of those things that needs to get much better. Like when I sure. know yeah. when I say what's my calendar look like, and when my wife says what's my calendar look like to any of these pods, right, they mm-hmm. should know who is asking and give a different answer, but we're just not there. And so HomePod, you're right though. It does come up against this whole like, Apple, you know, Apple One device thing. I mean, like I have all these music recommendations that are tied to my listening, but mm-hmm. if that's tied right. to my account in the HomePod, and then my daughter and her friends are playing music and stuff, does that mess up all of my
yeah.
Apple Music intelligence? Because now it thinks I'm listening to all sorts of music that I'm not actually listening to because it's not me on the HomePod. Or does it? And the flip side is, if they're worried about that, they could do the other thing, which is to just discount all of that stuff and not have it feed right. into anybody's Apple Music account, which is, I mean, it's less bad, but it's also not good because it's right. not helping.
Right. You're expecting more out of that product right. at that point. Yeah,
I agree.
It is very interesting. And to me, the HomePod strikes me a little bit like the first version of the Apple Watch. Not entirely similar, right? Because the Apple Watch, the first version of the Apple Watch, tried to do a lot. In fact, we talked about the time, probably too much. The HomePod doesn't necessarily have that problem, but it does have the feeling of a product that is not quite fully thought out and may evolve over time. And it's certainly, you know, we've already seen from the fact that they've said certain features won't be there when it first ships, that, you know, software updates will add additional functionality down the road. The question is how regularly they'll do that and what kind of attention will be given to this. Because if it goes out into the world and they're like, all right, there it is, it's done, maybe we'll revise it at some point in the next couple years, you know, and they sort of walk away and let it just be whatever it is, then I think it's going to be underwhelming in many cases because it needs to live right. and evolve, and they need to see how people use it. And that was the same thing with the Apple Watch, is that, you know, a couple Watch OS revisions down the road, there was a much clearer picture of what this device really was for and was good at.
Right. And that is, we've seen Apple do both of those things, and that becomes the question. Is I have a hard time believing that this is a product that Apple could walk away from. Like,
agreed.
The because yeah. I was talking on Download this week, and Kirk McElhern said, I asked, like, how committed are they to this category? And he says, well, if this does well, they're committed, and otherwise, it'll just fade away. And I thought, I don't agree with that. Because I feel like this is too important a category. Like, Apple yep. can't not have other devices that are Siri-driven. I mean, they could work with third parties, I suppose, if they decide they don't want to do this themselves. But, like, Apple, you know, Apple doesn't need to do anything. But, like, if this is a major future way people interact with platforms, with ecosystems, is speaking to things in their home in order to kick off services or to control smart home devices and to use music and all of these things that are happening. Apple, that go beyond the phone, right? Apple has to be there. Like, they right. need to be there, or they're going to fall behind in a key future area. And so
they can't just see that. Like, that is
no.
that is just waving the white flag.
So if this is the iPod Hi-Fi, like, you can't be like, oh, well, I just don't think they can.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and the testament to that, I think, is just how pervasive. There's a lot of tech devices that we all play with that kind of have their moment in the sun and people get really excited about them, and then they fade, or they end up relegated to sort of a niche status. The voice activated assistant thing has become such a pervasive part of the landscape, not only just in everyday usage, but, like, I'm thinking about, it's one of the few technologies I've seen make the jump to, like, media, right? Like TV shows or movies using them as plot points or just in the background. Most specifically, I'm thinking, you know, you and I both watch Mr. Robot. Uh-huh. Right. And there's the whole bit in one of the episodes, I think it was last season, where the character of Dom has an Echo
yep.
in her apartment. And I'm like, man, you know, you get to the point, or I saw a commercial, there's like a Geico commercial making fun of how inaccurate voice assistants are. And all these things make me think, like, this is a thing, right? Like, this is a official category now, just because of the fact that it has so much attention and gets so much usage, and people are designing stuff. I hear my public radio station ads every day talking about, here's how you can listen to our radio station on your Alexa, you know?
Right.
And it's like, oh man, like, this is everywhere. So I feel like I totally agree with you that they can't pull back from that category in the way that they did from other things. Like, I mean, the iPod Hi-Fi, at the end of the day, like, there was not much about that was going to be a really, like, interesting place for Apple to be in the long run.
Right. And it was no better than the Home Dock, right?
Exactly.
Or the Sound Dock, the Bose Sound Dock. No better.
And in the end of the day, it was just a thing you plugged an iPod into. There was super innovation in there or whatever. But this is a whole sort of category of forays into the next generation of interacting with technology. And if you are a big technology company, you can't afford to be on the outside of that.
Yeah, so if this doesn't work, I expect them to keep trying until it does work, right. And that might mean adding more products that are mm-hmm. cheaper, building products that are less music focused,
Sure.
You know, I think there are places where we've seen the Amazon Echo fit that this doesn't necessarily fit in. I actually believe that this is the best shot at a product. If you're going to take one shot, having it be a good speaker that is voice controlled, mm-hmm. when you've got Apple Music, like when I was thinking of the Siri speaker originally, this is basically what I was thinking of, and having it be sure. the cost of a high end speaker, that's all in there. The challenge is the price is for a single mono unit, although it's got a lot right. of processing in there. So there's that. And then there is the fact that they're so late. Like, again, in the end, you know, I don't think they're so late that it doesn't matter. But the fact is that this is a product that I'm a little surprised didn't come out a year after Apple Music debuted, mm-hmm. but it didn't. So here right, we are. Right. Like they had all these pieces, and it seemed to take them a long time. And if the stories are to be believed, it had a lot of different versions, and there was a lot of debate internally about it. And although it feels late, it also feels like it's not ready yet. Like, I mean, that's we're seeing that Apple is behind here, because they're so far behind that they're releasing it without some of the key features of it, because and it was delayed and right, it was right, announced exactly, 7 months yeah. ago. So, you know, but that said, I think a music player like this is a sweet spot, and I think there are people who are going to like it because they can park it in their house and control it, and it'll play music, and they like the Apple ecosystem, and they've got Apple Music, and like, it's done. I think it's going to be a good product for those people, yeah. even though it's pricey.
The big benefit, the way I see it, is in talking about like future software updates and stuff like that, is that the hardware in there is really solid from what I can tell. I mean, obviously we don't have, you know, a lot of personal first person experience with it, but you look at the specs and you look at the stuff they've designed, they have the benefit of coming late into the market and seeing all the different like hardware products that people have put out. And there hasn't been a huge evolution in terms of like the Echo or the Google Home, in terms of like what's in there, right? It's not like with a smartphone where people are like, now it has a camera, now it has this, right? Like they don't continually roll in new hardware features. A lot of what's been focused on there is the service part or the software part. And so having a very powerful system in place, and keep in mind that this thing not only has like these tremendous speakers or whatever they claim, but it also has an A8 processor in it, which is a pretty heavy duty processor. Like there's a lot of power that you can use that for. And so being able to update that and say, look, we can add new functionality, we can tweak the software and the way things work between that and between however you interact with this on your iOS device, there's a lot of potential to continually improvise and improve on what is already working, and just roll out software updates that improve it. In the same way that they have with, you know, basically all of their, you know, mobile devices, the Apple Watch, I'm still using an original Apple Watch, and it has gotten inestimably better. And it's because the hardware was pretty decent to start with, and they can just keep changing the software and tweaking the way it works to make it better and better. At a certain point, yeah, you did need new hardware in there. And at a certain point, there probably will be a HomePod with a better chip or something like that. But for the moment, I feel like getting the hardware into people's houses is sort of the big deal. And the software, there is improvement that can be made later. But the question is, as you said, it's expensive, especially when compared with other speakers' cost and can do. Is that going to be enough to get it into people's houses?
Yeah, the limitations of Siri, I mean, they don't even require a software update. That is service stuff on the back end, essentially. Right. But there is this larger question of what else can Siri do? Apple has been really slow, deliberately so in certain cases. Like there, I think Apple's really reluctant to open up Siri until stuff is rock solid. Whereas on the other side, and I'm trying to be really judicious here in describing this, like the amazing thing about the Amazon Echo is that it's got a bunch of partner relationships with the Alexa service, and mm-hmm. there's this whole open skills thing. And so, you know, what can it do is the thing you can say about that. It's also kind of a mess. And I see why Apple would want to be a little more controlling. Plus, I understand it's Apple. They're going to want to be more controlling. But like, what third-party access to Siri is so limited that it is It's going to lose so many different tests of can it do this against all of the other ones that are out there on the market. Even if a lot of the can it do this is sort of like, well, yes, but you have to install this thing in your Amazon account that does this, that adds this skill, and then you have to phrase it this way. But the answer for the HomePod, because of Siri, is going to be, no, you can't do that. And that's a thing that Apple's going to have to, and we've seen Apple have this capability in the past. Apple is going to either say, no, we know what we're doing here, and we're going to bring it along slowly, but we're going to get it all there, and it's going to be better done than it is on the competition. Or they're going to get prodded, and they're going to be like, yeah, actually, we do need way more Siri control and plug-in ability, and we do need to step up our game there, and they'll do that. And we'll either they're already on their way to doing that, and we just haven't seen the results yet because it's Apple and they keep things a secret, or I feel like this will be the product that'll prod them into it. And maybe that'll be the best thing about the existence of the HomePod, is it may be the first product that really forces Apple to focus on certain aspects of Siri that it's skated away from, because Siri's been on a phone, a watch, an iPad, where they've got other interfaces to show you stuff. And this one is just a blob that talks to you, and you better, answer my question. And so I'm going to be optimistic about that. My gut feeling is that people are like, well, I don't know. People said this about the iPod, and then the iPod was a huge hit. And the answer is the iPod was a huge hit like the third time around when they added the Windows version of iTunes, right? Or of Windows syncing anyway, Windows compatibility, before even iTunes existed. So that's what I think about the HomePod, is it may be the same story where it comes out and it's sort of like, and then a revision or two down the line, it may not even be a hardware revision, that it suddenly starts to kind of unfold and get better and make more sense. But it may take a little time. And the challenge with Apple of today versus the Apple of 2001 is Apple of today, like, everybody's been clamoring for this thing for 7 months already, for a year, for 2 years, whatever it is. Whereas Apple in 2001 could release the iPod and let it kind of bubble beneath the surface for a while and slowly gain momentum. So that's part of the challenge of being today's Apple, is you're just going to kind of block out the noise and try to focus on what you're doing and focus on the signal of what you're learning about it. So we'll see. But, I have a hard time imagining it's going to be a fantastic hit right out of the gate. But I could be underestimating the size of people who just love everything Apple does and are entirely in Apple's ecosystem and are like Apple Music, and this is going to be the perfect, because it's going to be great for, as an Apple Music user, this is going to be great because it is tied in with voice control and Apple Music, which is fantastic because I don't get to use that on any of my other devices.
And as a non-Apple Music subscriber currently, it will be super
not
curious
very useful
to see how that plans out. You know, like, yeah, because if it turns out that I really need to have an Apple Music subscription to get the most out of this, that is a big asterisk, because certainly that limits your market even further, right? If it's people who like Apple, people who will have enough to pay for an expensive one of these and want great sound quality,
right,
and are Apple Music subscribers, every additional and you add just narrows your margins a little bit more.
My gut feeling is that this product is probably no good unless you either use Apple Music or maybe iTunes Match, if iTunes Match is supported, which is unclear, but maybe.
That will be my first test, because I have iTunes Match, but not Apple Music,
it's
so
unclear.
That'll be interesting.
It sounds like you purchase stuff on iTunes, it'll be able to play, but will it, if you're an iTunes Match subscriber, will all of your uploaded iTunes Match stuff be there? And then, obviously, if you have Apple Music, you get iTunes Match as part of it, so you have your uploaded and your identified and everything else that's in the catalog. But if you don't, because the strongest argument here is, you have Apple Music, you love Apple Music, and you want a place to play that music in your house, and this is a neat thing that does that with voice control and all of that, because you can also do it with Sonos, but there's no voice control for that.
Well, if you also have an Echo, but that's two devices instead of one.
Not for Apple Music.
Oh, not for Apple Music. You're right. For other music services.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are lots of options if you go with other music services, but if you want Apple Music, you can use Sonos, but you can't voice control it.
You can't use voice control.
Or you can use a HomePod. But, this is one of those things. I actually am paying for that one device, Amazon Music Unlimited plan, just because we have the one main Amazon Echo in the kitchen, and I got really frustrated with the fact that we couldn't play play arbitrary songs on it because I didn't have the unlimited Amazon, but I didn't want another unlimited service because I already have Apple Music, and it's super frustrating. But if you're a Spotify fan, I mean, the fact is Spotify works really well on the Amazon Echo, and it's not going to work on the HomePod. You can AirPlay to it, but that's it. Right. And you know, maybe down the road, if SiriKit eventually supports audio playback, that you would be able to do something like that. It's possible, or even if it was actually happening on your phone and streaming, but you could give the command to the HomePod and it could play it, that might happen. But we've seen no evidence that Apple really wants to do that, because it's got Apple Music for, and that's right. what it really wants you to pay for.
The argument used to be that Apple would sell, you know, have its services in order to move devices. But this has started, the needle has shifted on that slightly with the introduction of recurring revenue.
Yeah,
things,
HomePod,
right?
Because feels an awful lot like a device that is going to drive Apple Music sales and not the reverse, which is
sure.
weird.
Not to say they aren't making a healthy profit on it would be my guess.
Right.
But that
all said, if in a year it supported Spotify, then they would sell more of them. But they
sure,
would
right. There's always the argument right. that they could say, well, it works with Spotify and all this, but it works best with Apple Music.
Right.
And they can consider it a Trojan to be like, sure, you start out with your Spotify or Amazon subscription, but you use it for a while and like, eh, it's only okay. And like, ah, oh, but if you use Apple Music, you can do all this other cool stuff. And people are like, maybe I'll switch to Apple Music, right? Like, that could be a long play. But yeah, it's a ways out there.
The problem is with all of these services is they're all limited to certain devices with certain levels of functionality. So, you know, if you drop Spotify and you use Apple Music, that's great. But then what if you've got some other place that doesn't do Apple Music, because it's only your Apple devices and Sonos that'll do it? Then you'll be out of luck, just like I'm out of luck with Apple Music on my Amazon Echo, other than Bluetooth.
Yeah, people don't want to rent their music, Jason.
What about, podcasts is the other one. It sounds like there's going to be a news update feature like on the Amazon Echo, where it'll be like NPR by default, but you can set it to a few different options. And they're using kind of a podcast stream to do that, but it's not the podcast app. There's no SiriKit for podcasts either. It sounds like there's no podcast integration built into this thing, so far as I can tell.
That's going to be a big question, because that's one of the frustrations I have right now, is I will start playing a podcast, say, Bluetooth to my Echo in the kitchen. And I'll be like, I'm done making dinner, and we will walk into the living room where there's a Sonos and be like, oh, I want to pick up where I left off. There's no easy way to do that because of the way the Sonos works, and because of the way the Echo works, there's no unified platform between those two things. So I end up, if I'm not already using the podcast app, essentially I have to like go into the Sonos app, find the same episode, fast forward literally to like, okay, we were at 14 minutes and 54 seconds or whatever, and that's feels ridiculously dumb for the day and age
Apple,
that we are in.
Apple has a cloud podcasting platform. The podcast app syncs its location using iCloud, I believe, so that you can pick it up. You know what your subscriptions are across devices. I think that's how I don't use the podcast app, but I believe that is something that's in Apple Podcasts. So it's right there for them to support Apple Podcasts. And it might actually drive people to use the Apple Podcasts app, because they would be able to do that syncing in a way that you can't do with something like Overcast.
That said, for years I've wanted the ability to like walk into my house playing a song on my iPhone and say, continue this song on my, you know, on iTunes on my Mac, like hand off the music, and they've never done that.
No.
Like, so,
well, that's,
who knows?
I mean, you mention it, and wouldn't that be great?
I've said this for years.
I mean, right, but now think about it in the HomePod context.
Right.
It's the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
I'm walking in the door with my AirPods listening to music, and what if I said, hey, lady, play the music
move
from my iPhone.
Move
my music from my iPhone to the HomePod, and have it just be like boop, and it just picks it up. It knows it's an Apple Music stream or iTunes Match stream, and it just keeps on going. Should be able to do that. Like, why not?
The funniest part of that to me is that if you go way back to 2001 and watch the first iPod commercial, that is the whole point of the iPod commercial.
It takes your music with you.
17 years later,
still doesn't
work. You kind of can't do that.
No, it still doesn't work. And I have had that same thing where I listen. So I listen while I'm sitting at my desk here. I listen to music on iTunes on my Mac. And then I want to go for a walk or a run or something. And I have to choose what I'm going to listen to. And if I choose to listen to the same thing, it's going to shuffle it differently. And I'm going to hear the same songs twice. And then I come back and I want to kind of resync and park it right back where I was. And it just, you can't do it. And it's maddening. I don't understand it.
Yep.
I and people come up with a lot. Here's a strange thing that happens. just between all of us here on Twitter, is some of Apple's staunchest defenders. The moment you point out something that Apple doesn't do, they immediately point out how that's too hard for Apple to do. It's like, well, wait a second. I thought Apple was really amazing and could do anything. Well, they can, but not that. That's way too hard, because there's this one thing that I just thought of that might be a security issue. And it's like, yeah, except let's give Apple some credit. They do a lot of hard stuff and make it look easy. Like, this doesn't seem like it's that hard. And like, oh, well, what if it doesn't know about the songs? Well, what if Apple does what they do with everything, which is just limit it to Apple Music and iTunes Match? Like,
sure.
What if
all you're sending
if?
At that point, all you're sending at that point is like playhead information. Yeah. It's like the song is at 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Well,
like,
well, you're also selling. You're doing your shuffle status. You're doing like what sure, am I playing? What's the current playlist? Where am I in it? What's already been played? What's going to be played next? You have to send all that too.
You want to sync like up next queue, basically, right? Like, you have your up next queue on all your devices.
If I'm shuffling an album of 8 tracks and I've already played 3 of the tracks and I'm on track 4, it needs to know that I'm on track 4. Where am I in track 4? What tracks have already been played and what tracks are going to be played? Because I don't want to hear one of those tracks that I just played next. I don't want it to be a fake shuffle. I want it to be real. That's a text string. That is a
very metadata,
small
right? Like,
amount
it's
of metadata.
Metadata.
And that's it. Right?
Yeah. It is staggering to me that is, like, if they've decided not to do it, it's basically for one of two reasons, and that is they don't want to, for whatever reason.
Right. They don't think people want this.
Yeah. Or
there's something super weird in their contract with their...
Something super weird in licensing, right? Like, that's basically it.
Which doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how...
No, they are an 800-pound gorilla now. They could negotiate for that if they wanted to.
It's bizarre, because it is...
Or they haven't thought of it, right? Like, for some reason... Hello, Apple employees listening to this show.
I don't know, but the podcast one is the one that really gets me, because, like, there's nothing. And... podcasts, people want to listen to podcasts on Apple Watch. I really wonder. I mean, maybe it's hard, or maybe they just don't care. I get the sense that little inside baseball, but like, Apple is the number one platform for podcasts. So from the perspective of podcasts, podcasters, podcast listeners, Apple is the number one platform. Not even Apple, podcast app on iPhone plus iPad plus iTunes on the desktop is the single biggest podcast player. And the podcast app on iOS is by itself the single biggest podcast player by a lot, like a lot. Even though there's Android out there and Android listening of podcasts is growing, the podcasts are far more listened to on iOS than on Android. So Apple, from the perspective of the podcast world, is enormous. Now, let's turn around. Let's walk to the other side of the room. Turn 180 degrees and look. From the perspective of Apple, podcast is like in the margin of error. Like, you can't even see that it's there. The podcast group is very small. So they are incredibly important to people who care about podcasts. But inside Apple, I get the impression it's kind of hard to get Apple to pay attention to podcast stuff at all.
They don't make... they make very little, if any, money off of it, one would assume.
It's because true... But it is a huge platform advantage for them, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's people two ways like to podcasts, look at that. And they're making a HomePod. Pod.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pod.
There are
Pod is in the name, people. Pod is in the name. And yet it's sort of like, and Apple Watch, you hear it all the time. Like, people are like, oh, I really like my Apple Watch, but I want to listen to podcasts. So, or I would buy an Apple Watch, but I want to run and listen to podcasts. And it doesn't do that. Why doesn't it do that? And like, you will sell more watches. You will sell more HomePods. You were number one. Why are you not doing more with it? I don't. Like, the Apple Watch thing, like HomePod, it's a 1.0. Maybe they'll get it in the next rev. Maybe they'll add it as they go. But like, Apple Watch, like, why have they not put podcasts on the Apple Watch yet? I mean, there must be really serious technical reasons, and maybe all the reasons that Marco Arment details about all the things he tried and how they kind of fail indicate that there are some like media player issues. They only just got music untethered music to really be solid in watchOS 4, so maybe that was the reason. But like, it is a glaring hole in these products. So again, it's like, I don't know. It's like that and like picking up where you left off with your music. These are both issues that maybe I'll turn it back to my optimism from earlier, which is maybe the HomePod is the thing that finally gets this stuff resolved.
Yeah, maybe. I guess from my perspective, the one thing I always think about when I think about that is like, maybe they just don't, like, there's no incentive to a certain extent. I know the argument that they'll sell more devices, but at the same time, when you're at the top of the heap, like, there's less incentive to innovate, right? Like they already have the huge chunk of the podcast market. It's not to say they couldn't sell more devices. Maybe they could. Maybe they consider the number of people who would buy those around the area.
But they're trying to launch. They've got the number one on their devices, and then they launch a new device, and they're like, nope, we're not going to put it on there. It's just bizarre to me.
I don't know. But like, yeah, some of it makes me, given like they have started to move in that direction a little bit. Like, for example, the whole thing, I don't actually know how well this has been implemented, you would know better than I, but the podcast stats they started talking about last year, I think, right? Like in iTunes Connect,
yeah.
And so like there's some interest being shown to podcasts, but it's never been an area. This kind of fell into their laps, right? Because they started very early in the podcast thing and before it was even super popular, and it just became the default. And as a result, they've kind of, you know, reaped the benefits of that, but I don't get the impression it was ever something like we've talked about this before with taking the podcast authoring tools out of GarageBand, right? Like, they don't seem to necessarily care, even though they are so, we all look at them like, oh my God, they're so important because they control all this part of the market, but they don't really think about that. So I don't know.
Yeah, this is a larger question that we have mentioned before, which is the challenge. In fact, I feel this way about, iBooks becoming books at this point, and there's a story about how Apple's really serious this time for sure, and fool me once, shame on me. I mean, Steve Jobs stood on stage and said we're going to totally change books, and they put effort into it for a very short amount of time, and then they stopped. And then, yeah, there was also the whole lawsuit and all of that. But, like, the effort that Apple had put into iBooks, like, beyond a certain point, has been almost nothing. They did an iBooks author. It's going to transform textbooks. We don't really care about it that much. And they just kind of back off of it. And
they strike me as a person who tries something and is like, this is really hard.
Apple,
never mind.
Apple needs to not enter areas that it's not committed to. This is a lesson that a lot of people have to learn, which is, if you aren't going to go into this and be committed to it, don't go into it. Like, don't half-ass it. Don't spend time getting it started and then realize, I'm going to move on to something else, and then just let this project you're working on half done. And the problem with Apple is it's so huge and is so powerful that when it makes one of these changes, it moves markets, it scares out competitors, and then it just does this kind of half-ass job. And it, like somebody was talking about, like with iBooks, like as a competitor to Amazon, which is so huge, and it's like, and they're like, well, would you think they would do an ebook reader and all that? I'm like, no, I don't. Well, they're going to be more into books now. Like, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, it's not their. I mean, maybe they'll change, but I doubt it. And the danger with any of these markets, like OS X Server is another example, right? Or Mac OS Server. Now, you and I were talking about this earlier this week. Apple is in the process of ripping out all the pieces of Server, and some of them are going to just be in the OS, and some of them are just going away, and you'll need third-party alternatives. And on one level, as somebody who's used Server for a decade, like, I get it. A lot of that stuff is not really necessary. They're just putting a little UI on top of a bunch of complicated Unix stuff. And most of the people running these servers now are probably comfortable with the complicated Unix stuff. And there's very little that they do that is like super Apple specific, and you have to have the server interface for it. Okay, fair enough. But the truth is, the other thing that's happened in the last 15 years, I wrote a book about macOS servers like 20 years ago. I co-authored a book about macOS servers. The thing that macOS 10 Server did was drive almost everybody else out of the Mac-based server front-end market, right? Because Apple was there. And so now that Apple's getting out of it, that's going to be the question. Is somebody going to come back in and say, oh yeah, the SMB server that's built into macOS is kind of not great, and we have a new solution now? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But this is another example, like, Apple's presence can really distort or transform a particular market. So
I made this argument a couple of years ago when there had been a really long gap in iWork updates, which was, you know, Apple came in with a free set of productivity software, and then recently several years ago now, they kind of revamped everything to try and establish like platform parity between iOS and macOS in terms of like what Pages and Numbers and Keynote could do. Never quite got there. They're still not there. There are still things that are not quite in parity. But they also ripped out a bunch of functionality that was in the previous version of some of these software, and they haven't got around to putting that back. And it's not like, again, you're not going to compete in, not much less in a market where Apple's giving away all this stuff for free. And if you don't like that, you can go pay Microsoft for like the real professional, you know, productivity suite. But like, there's not a lot of room in those markets for people, you know, other than these two warring giants, because most people are going to take the free iWork stuff they get with their computer and say, well, like, you know, it's good enough to write my term paper or whatever on. It's good enough to do some simple household finances in numbers or whatever. But like, you know, if they decide to sort of step back and not update them for a while, like, they fall behind and nobody's going to be like, oh, this is a great chance to enter the market, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, same thing we talked about with the, we're just alluding to with GarageBand removing podcast functionalities. Like, there were a couple early days, like there were a couple other audio editing software that, you know, sort of targeted podcasts directly. But like, at a certain point, Apple put like podcast features in GarageBand. And it's like, well, why bother? Like,
yeah, and, you know? And it's free. So and just download it.
Right. It's free.
Essentially free.
You can have it. And then they basically walked it back and removed all that functionality. And it's like, well, nobody's going to go in the market because it's terrifying. Like, why would you invest all this time and energy and money into building a product that only addresses a niche audience and also might get like sort of the rug pulled out from you right at any minute? So that's tough.
Yeah. So anyway, my hope is that Apple has, with its announcements of things like the podcast stats and all of that, my hope is that Apple gets that podcasts are an important, increasingly important part of people's media consumption. And as an audio only medium, things like Apple Watch when you're untethered and the HomePod are places that it should be. I hope that the reason that they aren't present yet is that there is a larger project going on to get all the cloud syncing solid, to get all the media playback stuff that they need on their embedded operating systems working the way they need to. I hope that's all going on, because it should be there, and it really hurts these products if it's not. And there aren't any great options for this now. I mean, there are some sure that are being worked on, but like, my understanding with Sonos is that Overcast, like, Marco was working on Overcast support for Sonos, I think, and there's a challenge because there's some stuff in the Sonos, there's stuff missing from the Sonos APIs that like made it impossible for him to do. I forget exactly what it was, like some of the sync, like some of the syncing stuff that we just talked about. Like, did that podcast finish? Are you now on to another episode? Where are you stopped? My understanding is that there was some stuff that he couldn't get to, so he couldn't get it to work right. Like, so it's all just kind of hanging out there, and there's an opportunity for these things to do podcasts better.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They aren't yet.
Even on the Echo, it's really hit or, if you say play the latest episode of X podcast,
yeah,
it's extremely hit
and
or
I
miss.
Never do, because I'm usually listening to I'm usually in the middle of a podcast somewhere. Yeah, sure. I don't want to just do that. So unless it's a super short thing, like the only podcasts I listen to on my Echo are the NPR top of the hour news updates that are part of my daily briefing because they're 3 minutes long, and I can do that while I'm making myself a sandwich. That's like literally sure it. But there's an opportunity. I would say, hey, lady, pick up where I left off on Reconcilable Differences. That would be awesome, but it doesn't do that. So
I would even like to reliably have it say like, oh, hey, play the latest episode of this show, and it not like play me like last week's episode,
right,
or something.
Right, because the TuneIn database is weird and not always updated and is missing things. And
well, it's because Apple is the 800-pound gorilla and they're not working with Amazon.
I had somebody complain to me like it was something that I had done. About saying on my Google Home, when I say to play The Incomparable, it plays the latest episode in The Incomparable Superfeed. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is that, and this is that, and I don't have a Google Home, and I don't have any control over what Google does. Find another way to say it, I guess. But like, literally, I got nothing. I mean, it's just who knows what they're doing and how they're doing it, and I have no idea. So it's like, sorry, but I can't help you. This is not me saying, this is what I would like to play when people say this. It's, no, it's just like the giant tech company is doing some indexing, or they've got a partner. Who knows?
Yep.
All right. Well, we should probably stop there. But thanks to everybody out there, of course, for subscribing to Six Colors. We appreciate it. And Dan, pleasure as always. Bye.
Indeed, sir. Goodbye.